Sri Sai Ram. Our loving salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, revered elders, multi-faith leaders, Vedic scholars, brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. Swami, with your divine blessings and permission, we would like to begin the second day proceedings of the first Sri Satya Sai International Vedic Conference and Multi-Faith Prayers. Vedayati ita Veda. Veda means which makes you know. Swami himself has declared, Veda is the highest treasure of mankind. First, we have today Dato Jagadishan from Malaysia, a member of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations Malaysia. He is a consultant with the United Nations International Development Organization and also a member of the United Nations Council on Trade and Development Malaysia. She has authored two books related to Vedas, the first being Glimpses of the Universal Knowledge Vedas as offered by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, and the second book being The Sparks of the Divine Fire. He has been appointed as the International Interfaith Coordinator of the International Satya Sai Organizations. He will be speaking to us on the topic, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's Call for Interfaith Unity from Conference Halls to Community, Dato Jagadishan.
Sairam, Sairam. I can also say Sairam. Sairam. Thank you. That motivates me. My beloved Vasudeva Kudumbakam. First time I've addressed anyone, any group as Vasudeva Kudumbakam. I realize now we are God's children. It is a great humility and honor that I have the chance to address all of you in this magnificent environment, the Valley of the Gods. I want to recognize here some of my leaders, Brother Narendra Reddy, thank you, Brother Sir, for allowing me to be here for the first place, and Brother Nimesh, who arranged this whole thing, and a lot of other great leaders here, with whom I've had the honor of working, some for many years, some for a few years. The challenge of this magnificent theme of interfaith unity is really a very, very bold move. And yesterday we saw a magnificent, magnificent event of interfaith unity. Dear brothers and sisters, in this world today, there are two challenges that face all nations. These challenges were not there more than 60, 70 years ago. Many challenges have faced the world. There have been famines, there have been wars, there have been destruction, earthquake, but never in the history of mankind have we faced two challenges. The challenge actually human consciousness itself. The first challenge is this. More than 60 years ago, there was no world interfaith conflict. Today, in these times, the world is threatened with interfaith conflict. One press of the button could challenge the world and push us back to stone ages virtually. And that is because of religion. Religion that is supposed to be the divine source of unity and love and caring and sharing has today become one of the great threats facing mankind in every country. The second great challenge facing mankind is this, which never existed more than 60 years ago, and that is the decline of respect and reverence to parents and family unity. At one time, parents were considered as the center of the family, as to be worshipped and revered. But today, around the world, parents are crying because their children have abandoned them. To a point, such a point that governments now must pass laws to make sure children look after their parents. This is the real shame on human consciousness. So these are the two massive challenges. Both of these challenges are not physical, is consciousness. If we transform the consciousness, we can get back the original peace. So dear friends, all of you knew the entire interfaith, this thing was massive world scale. After the 9/11 disaster in USA, the building of the Twin Towers. After that, many nations scrambled to have interfaith dialogue. And it so happened, the same happened in Malaysia. In Malaysia, they had a consultative council of Buddhists, Christians, Hindus, Sikhs, and Taoists. Islam was not a member of this group. In Malaysia, the population is about 60-odd% Muslims, and the other 30-odd% would be Chinese, Indians, and others. And this consultative council, religious leaders, had a conference on the role of religion in creating national unity. And all religious leaders, like yesterday's session you saw, were invited to speak. It so happened that since by that time, the 36th Central Council, our international organization, that time it was not called international organization, but was already well known as a center for interfaith unity. So though we are not a religious leader, we were invited to attend and speak. Dear friends, on that day when I went to that meeting, the hall was lined up with all religious leaders wearing different colored robes, monks, bishops, what have you. I didn't prepare what to say. So I told Swami, you guide me what I should say. So I went and sat down, all religious leaders spoke. Then my turn came. Until today, I cannot imagine what I said on that day. Swami must have made me speak that. I told dear religious leaders, monks, bishops, and my loving brothers and sisters, frankly, I think all of us are wasting our time here, were the first words I said. There was a shocked silence. The man who invited me put his hand in his head and said, my God, what is Madman Jagga saying? I know you're wondering why I'm saying this. I'll tell you why. The fact that all of you are in this hall today means you are converted. You believe in interfaith unity. You know, you won't be here. But let me tell you this. Even Malaysia, tomorrow, there's interfaith violence. Exact words, none of us fat cats will take a knife after each other. The people who take the knife are those in the slums, the squatter areas, the high-rise tenement, poor people. They will take the knife. It is they, these people who must be convinced that interfaith is a living reality. Not something we speak in air-conditioned rooms and we pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, good speech we gave. No impact on society. Now I tell you this, I said, if for some mental aberration we have, these are dangerous words I'm saying in front of religious leaders, you know. If for some mental aberration we have, we refuse to pray in another man's hall of prayer because we lock the omniscient, omnipresent God inside the four walls of our own little hall of prayer. Carry on, do that. Nothing to stop you. But nothing to prevent, I said. Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Taoists, all holding hands and serving the poor where the sky is the roof and the earth is the ground. The thunderous applause, you know, everybody stood up and clapped. And I sat down. No, I didn't ask you to clap. I said those guys clapped, okay? Anyhow, so when I finished, I thought everybody was very fully enthusiastic. But everybody wants to go to a conference hall, sit down, talk and go home. Nobody wants to do anything, you know. And the world is full of conferences that I held with no follow-up action. I called it NATO. We are part of the NATO forces. What is NATO forces? No action, talk only, you know. And I hope that what we're having now today, led by our brother, will become not part of NATO forces. We will make something happen and help transform the world. Dear brothers and sisters, but that day I realized what I should do. I called the Satya Sai Council together and I said, guys, let us now move into action. The two difficult challenges would be, so I decided to approach the Archbishop of the Catholic Church and the leader of the Islamic Youth League of Malaysia, which is a very, very dynamic group that would protest if there any challenge against Islam. And both the Archbishop of the Catholic Church and the head of this group called ABIM, the Islamic National Youth Wing, agreed to support us. You know what the National Youth Wing leader told me? Mr. Jega, when I told him, would you like to help us to join this interfaith alliance? He said, we have been watching this Sai Baba, your Sai Baba group for many years, he said. Because we used to do medical camps, we have more than 1,000 medical camps at the time, in the rural areas. The rural areas, the majority of the 95% Islam, and only 5-10% would be Hindus and others. They used to wonder, why would this group now go and serve the 95% majority Muslim people? What is their motive? In Malaysia those days, a Hindu would help Hindus, Christian help Christians, Chinese help Chinese, that's it. First time you're seeing an interfaith group of Indians and Chinese go and helping a majority Muslim area. So what they used to do, I didn't realize this. After we finished the medical camp, they would go into, they'd send their team into the villages and with a form. What did the group want? What did they tell you? Did they tell you to join Sai Baba? So all the questions they asked them. And I've told our people, when you go there, you never talk of Baba. Your job is not to promote Baba. Tell them to become better Muslims, better Hindus, better Christians. Tell them we only come to serve them. And we consider them a blessing for us. So all our people used to say that. So what happened is, dear devotees, that's why these guys, for every camp we had, more than 1,000 camps, they sent us forms. And told Mr. Jega, you got to file this thick about the Sai Baba organization. And you personally, you got to file this thick. I was very disappointed, my file is very small, okay? Anyhow, so what happened is, I told them, why do you have this file? Then they told me, we used to send our people to question what you have done, what is your motive? And Mr. Jega, we found everybody is saying very positive things about you, the Sai Baba organization. So, dear devotees, a miracle happened. For the first time in Malaysian history, a massive Islamic group, the National Youth League, said, Mr. Jega, we are with you. We will join the friendship group for interreligious service. So the Catholic Church, the Islamic Youth League, the Protestant group, the Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, all joined together to form what is called the friendship group for interreligious service. The purpose of the group is very, very simple. It's not a society. Get together here and to go and promote human values and service to the community. So now we have interfaith medical camps, interfaith human value programs, interfaith drama festivals, interfaith song festivals, everything underlined as interfaith. And this, everyone thought, is impossible in a Muslim country like Malaysia to have this kind of interfaith alliance for long. They thought within 1 or 2 years we will die off. Dear brothers and sisters, but Bhagavan had other plans. Today is the 17th year of the friendship group. And we have come to a point where the Malaysian government, majority Muslim government in Malaysia, is approaching us and says, can you help us to unite the people? They in fact fund major programs, you know, when they ask us to do this. We said, fine. So we are very well recognized, respected. So the Satsai organization, being the, and then the chairman of this particular friendship group was the president of the Sai Council. No one questioned, since we started it, everyone took our leadership, and no one questioned why you are chairing it. So it went on for about 10 years initially. Then one day, I told the council of leaders, more than 10 years we have been chairing we call it FGIS, Friendship Group for Intelligence Service. Now, can I suggest that we change the chairmanship? For the next 1 year, let the Islamic group chair this friendship group, Interfaith Alliance. After that, let the Christians chair. I thought it was a very generous offer, I mean. And the Muslim leader said, Mr. Jega, not necessary. Let Sai Baba continue to chair this friendship group. We will back you up. This was a thrilling thing for us. You know? My hair stood when this guy said this, okay. We never imagined this could happen. And today we lead the organization. Dear devotees, basically what everyone wants, they must trust us. The key is trust. They must not have any doubt that our motive is to convert everybody into Sai Baba. Our motive is to create changes in religious. And today we are working on that basis. So many, many events we've had. Drama festivals, friendship groups, virtually every month we have some major event or the other. Sorry, I'm asking for some water.
Oh, sorry, sir.
What? Here's a small side story. I'm so nervous, my mouth is drying up. Normally, I'm not so nervous, okay? Even if Dr. Reddy in America, I spoke, I wasn't too bad. But this is very, two leaders here, you know. Anybody is, I must tell a little story. At the time when Swami was doing this water project, okay, I was asked to speak here at I think some conference, you know, I was giving a report, and I started speaking that day. I had some little bit of fever, and my throat began to dry up, and I'm trying to struggle to speak, and my hand is going in my pocket. I'm taking out my sweets, okay, to put into my mouth, okay, you know, I had this hack sweets, and now I'm going to do that right now, and as I'm struggling to speak. Swami was watching there. Swami saw Swami struggling. You know what he did? He just turned and said like that, pointed to the back and sent. He did like that. Everyone knew, you know. So they brought a glass of water and gave it to me. And then I said, oh, Swami, thank you, Swami, for making me part of your water project. So, dear friends, this is what happened in Malaysia. And as we began to do this, more and more people began to wonder, what is this, how is it happening in Malaysia? A Muslim nation with so many restrictions we have, you know, on what we can do, what we cannot do. The government is very liberal. The government is a fantastic, beautiful government. But they say, do not interfere with Islam. That's it. So they watch very carefully about that. So we are very careful also. So now, everybody, when that's over, then came the next phase. Then came the next phase. And Dr. Reddy, you must listen to this. Hope you're listening also earlier ones. The next phase was this. Dr. Reddy, the region of plenty now, you know. Dr. Reddy, in a brilliant move of really incredible consciousness, launched something called the POC, the Public Outreach Committee. And in that POC, he established four major committees. And it was public meetings, it was Walk for Values, it was community engagement, and one of it was interfaith unity. And he very kindly appointed me to chair the International Interfaith Committee of the World Satya Sai Baba Organization. So now I'm a chairman of the International Interfaith Committee. Then, in 2 or 3 years ago, New Zealand decided to have a major interfaith event. So they invited me to be a speaker. And I went there, and all I did was on that there's a huge hall with it in the Methodist church, a huge Methodist church, and all the, and actually I really appreciate the dynamic leadership of the New Zealand Psi Council. Some of them are here today. And they had the session in this Methodist church with religious leaders from all denominations were there, all religions were there. And all I went there and I presented a PowerPoint about what we have done in Malaysia. And I showed them a video, which I plan to show today, but there are restrictions about what I can do here. I showed them a video on a major program we had. It is called the Fun Day for God's Special Children, Handicapped Children. And dear devotees, that event in New Zealand became a phenomenon. Every big religious groups were there, and they did such an event now in New Zealand, that now every year, New Zealand is now organized 2 years now, interfaith friendship group event on the special children. And everybody was so excited. So like the dear devotees, what we have now realized now one thing. The best way we can achieve interfaith unity in this world is not to talk about interfaith unity. Everyone talks about unity, everyone quotes from all scriptures about unity. But we must translate that quotations into action on the ground. And then the people will believe the interfaith is a living reality. And this is the main message that I wish to share with you, from conference halls to the community. And I pray that India will now become a world model for interfaith action on the ground. You see, whatever we do in Malaysia, the world doesn't care, you know. Whatever we do in New Zealand also, forgive me New Zealand, the world doesn't care so much. But in India, the world's greatest, biggest democracy, launches a massive interfaith drive and brings about harmony and goodwill between religions. You stand like a lighthouse for the world, okay? And this brother, Brother Nimesh, I pray that you will lead this charge into... Wait, first you. No, I know, but I'm praying to you to do it, okay, so that I can then pray to Swami. Swami, please. Make the Indian Psi organization become the lighthouse for the world. But one thing, dear devotees, you can only become lighthouse for the world if every devotee here, every leader sits down and backs up, you know, your leadership here to make it a reality. So I hope, dear brother, the next birthday, when we come here, you will be able to tell the world you have launched now massive interfaith programs and all religions now respect what we're trying to do. And all the main message of interfaith unity is this. We need everyone to be 100% fully committed to their own religion. We don't want anybody to change their religion. Your youth and everyone should become more stronger, more devoted, more conscious of the value systems of the religion. Stronger in your religion and then prepared to work with others for a greater cause than all of us. So this birthday devotee, I want to thank all the leaders here. Ready, both of you, you know, like Batman Robin sitting here today. I would like, with both of you leading the organizations here, I think we can achieve. We are achieving things, but there's much, much more we can be done. The time, there's a note here, Joseph, in case you're curious what it is, he says I've got 5 minutes more. I think I've got 2 minutes more, so let me stop here. Then but let me finish now. Hey, hold on, I've not gone away yet. So let me finish with a call for unity, okay? Clap your hands and sing a song. No, I said clap your hands when I sing the song. There are many races in this land, in different halls, you know, I haven't started singing yet. These are the opening lines, okay? Hey, can you all play the drum or something, please? There are many races in this land, in different halls we pray. Hello? Say it slow, lovers, you know. Okay, let's do it fast. There are many races in this land, in different halls we pray. There are many. In different halls we pray, we call him by different names, the one who shows the way. We call different names, the one who shows the way. The one who shows the way, my Lord, by what name can we pray? The one who shows, by what name can we pray? Buddha, Jesus, Allah, Allah, come and show the way. Buddha, Jesus, Allah, Allah, come and show the way. Buddha, Jesus, Nanak, Allah. Jesus, Nanak, Allah. Om Sri Bhagavan, Sai Nata. Om Sri Bhagavan, Sai Nata. Come and show the way. Come and show the way. Your children here to pray. Your children here to pray. Please come and show the way. Please come and show the way. There are many races in this land. In different halls we pray. We call him by different names, the one who shows the way.
Thank you, sir. Indeed, you have made it very clear that interfaith unity is the need of the hour to face most of the problems of today's world. Moving forward, we have the keynote address by Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan. Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan is the director of the Indian Institute of Scientific Heritage in Kerala. He has served as a senior scientist at CSIR, Government of India, for 25 years. He has published 50 research papers in national and international scientific journals and authored over 125 books. He has 6 patents, 9 national and international awards, and 13 awards for science and culture popularization to his credit. He will be speaking on discovery of Vedas as the source of wisdom and great relevance in modern times, with its scientific understanding for the benefit of mankind. Over to Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan.
Krishna Grahidava Pratraisha. My pranams to the lotus feet of Avatara Swami Satya Sai Baba. Devata Bhya Pitrubhyascha Mahayogi Bhya Yevacha Namaswadhaye Swahaye Nityame Vanamo Nama. All the divine powers that is controlling the universe, all of ours forefathers and the great rishis and acharyas, the omnipotent, omnipresent divine power within us and outside us, nityameva namo nama, our pranams and pranams. Yesterday evening and today, I could see this great ocean flowing without anybody's guidance, control, restriction or monitoring. In Telugu, we used to say, Brahmandanga undadi, so beautifully. So I chant one mantra of our Mahasankalpa. Adi Vishnu Adi Narayanasya Achindyaya Aparimidaya Shaktya Brihamanasya Anegagodi Brahmandana Madhye Prithivi Ap Teja Vayu Akash Ahangara Adi Mahad Avyaktaihi Avranaihi Avrade Asmin Mahadi Brahmanda Mandali. This Brahmanda Mandalam. I am fortunate enough to stand here 3 times. First time during Adirudra Yajna was going on. At that time, I was fortunate enough to keep my face on the lap of Swami. And he asked me, "Inda varaku me ikkadaki ravatledu. Em ravatledu?" Next question, bhojanam chesara? So beautifully. Me came kavalu. Many people asked me, "You could have asked a ring." I said, "I don't want anything." Me came em kavali. I said, "Pada namaskaram." Everyone sitting there instructed me should not do pada namaskaram. Swami, leg was not doing well. Em kavalo adu chesu. Whatever you want to do, you do it. I did pada namaskaram. And after that, somebody called from here to Trivandrum and told me that I should come here and deliver the second lecture. I did not get the day, which day I should come here. In the dream, Swami came and said, "You have got terrible ego. Once your ego is finished, then only I will call you." Then in the sleep dream, I asked him, "What should I do for removing this ego?" "Definitely I will come to the Veda. Don't worry about it." And he told, showing 5 fingers, Swami told me, "You should not accept any garland. You should not accept any reward or give any certificate to others. You should not receive any bouquet. You should not allow people to talk great about you. Once your lecture is over, make it sure that you are telling that it is not your knowledge. That knowledge belongs to our forefathers." "After 5 years, I will call you." 5 years over now. 5 years over now. I'm here. I feel so thrilled. And after listening yesterday evening lectures, prayers, and today seeing your face, what Swami Vivekananda said 1893 in Ann Arbor, not in Chicago, Ann Arbor, Michigan University. He said that 20th century belongs to you people who assembled there. 20th century belongs to you people who assembled there. But 21st century belongs to we Indians. And that 21st century in their faith, relationship building, from earlier years onwards, India used to be the spiritual capital of the world. And let this center be the pivotal point of the spiritual capital of the world. Now, entering to my subject, because this clock is threatening me the same. So, I should stick to this one. That clock also I can see. So, always I used to say, "Namah sabhabhya sabhapadibhyaschavo namo namastishtadbhyo dhavadbhyaschavo namo namah svabhyo jagradbhyaschavo namaha." Those who are sitting here, this sabha, my pranams. As the chairman of the sabha, Swami, my pranams. You may have to sit here till evening. During that period, some people may be sleeping. To them, my pranams. Svabhyaha jagradbhyaschavo. Those who will never sleep till the last breath, To them I pronounce. Those who are standing here in search of the seat, my pronouns. Those who are entering or going out, my pronouns. That is Veda. So, my pronouns to each and every one of you. Entering directly, 239 countries in the world, recognized by UNO or not recognized by UNO, of which 122 Christian countries, 69 Muslim countries, 14 Buddhist country, 1 Jew country, accepted Sangachadvam Samvadadvam Samvomana Amsijanada Deva Bhagam Yada Purve Sanjanana Upasade Samano Mandra Samiti Samani Samanam Manasahajittamesham Samanam Mandram Abhimandrayeva Samanena Vohavishajuhomi Samaniva Aku Ote Samana Hridayaniva Samanamastu Mano Yada Avasu Sahasati. Luckily many of you do not know. Otherwise you would be chanting with me. Sangachadvam. Let us move forward together gloriously. Samvadadvam. Let us discuss together gloriously. Samvo manamsi janata. Let us understand psychologically and mentally each other. Deva bhagamida purvesan janana upasate. Let us offer our mission-oriented work to the omnipotent, omnipresent divine power as our forefathers did it. Samano mandra samidhi samani samanam manasaha jittamesham. Let our committee meeting should focus to the final point. And let our mind, thoughts, vision and mission come together, sharing, caring and curing each other. Sharing, caring and curing each other. Samanam mandram abhimandra eva. Whatever mantra I am chanting, let your mantra be complementary to that, never contradictory, conflicting to that. Complementary to that. Samaniva agudis samana hridayanivaha. Let us live together and let the beat of our heart has the harmonious, complementary wavelength to each other. Samaniva agudi samana hridayanivaha samanamastu o mano yadavasusahasadi. Let our mind focus to the final point and let us live a happy, glorious, useful, purposeful, fruitful and meaningful life. Useful, purposeful, fruitful and meaningful life. And let our prayer be asadoma sadgamaya, from bad to good, good to better, better nearer to the best, best superlative degree impossible. So nearer to the best. Let our mind, body, family relation, cultural value, social bondage, national integration. Mind, body, family, culture, society, nation. Get sustainable and permanent benefit from our life. Asadoma sadgamaya. Let our mind move from bad thoughts to good thoughts. Bad health to good health. And rupturing family relation to strengthening family relation. And devaluation of our culture to in high valuation of our culture. loosening the social bondage to strengthening social bondage. Disintegrating nation to integrating nation. And tamasoma jyotirgamaya. From Veda, from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge. Mrityorma amritam gamaya. From a tensionful life to tensionless life. From tensionful life to tensionless life. India lived in four words. Mind, thoughts, action, result. Last five, reward. Let the mind move from bad to good. Thoughts will move from bad to good. Action will move from bad to good. For which? Bhadram karnebhi srunuyama deva. Asmagam karnebhi he deva bhadrameva srunuyama. Let us all listen to glorious messages. Positive messages. Bhadram pasyema akshavirya jatraha. Let us all watch good in everybody. 746 crore people in the world. Everyone has got good in them. Everyone has got little bad also. Ignore the bad and take the good. Bhadram pasyema akshavirya jatraha. Stirai rangaihi tushtuvagam sastano virvyashema devahitam yadayuhu. The healthy body is composed of healthy organs. As long as you live here in the world, preparation for living is not life. Experience of living is life. Preparation for living is not life. Experience of living is life. Do good for others. As long as you live here, Swami used to say, Naraseva, Narayana Seva, Manava Seva, Madhava Seva, Jana Seva, Janardana Seva. Vedas tell you, Ya Paresha Mubagaraya Jivati, Sa Eva Jivati. Those who are living for others, for helping others, only they are living. Only they are living. And let us live together. Vedas tell, Sahana Vavatu. Let us exist together. Sahanau Bunaktu. Let us share the result of the work together. Sahaviryam Karavavahai. Let us work together. Tejasvina Vadhitamastu. Let us enlighten together. Ma Vidushavahai. Let us not have hatred towards anybody. Our prayer, Sarve Bhavandu Suginaha, Sarve Sandhu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyandu, Ma Kaschit Dukkabhag Bhaved. All the people who are working in survey department should become happy. That is not the meaning. Let everybody become happy. Let everyone enjoy the life. We are living here approximately 80 to 85 years, equal to 29,000 days, equal to 2 billion seconds. Every breath is taking you towards graveyard. Every breath is taking you towards graveyard. How long you live, nobody is bothered. How you live, that is what everyone is bothered. We Indians never said, only my religion is perfect. We never said. We never said, only my God is perfect. We never said, only our book is perfect. We never said, only our pathway is correct. We said, Ano Bhadraha Kratavo Yantu Vishwadaha. Wherever good things are there, wherever usable, noble things are there, let it belong to us also. We were givers and takers, just like a river. River has got sweet water. Ocean has got salt water. Why river is sweet water? It gives water to ocean. That is why it is sweet water. Ocean takes, that is why it is salt water. So, let us be rivers. Just like Ganga Jayamune Jaiva, Godavari Shatadruti or Saraswati, Narmade Sindhugaveri, Jalesmin Sannidhim Guru. Somewhere you can see. In Yajurveda, 40th chapter, Ishavasyopanishad, 5th line, said the people are going towards negative. Veda tells you, Asurya Namate Loka, Andhena Tamasavrata, Tamste Pritya Bhigachandi, Ekecha Atmahano Janaha. Those who have decided to commit suicide, Atmahano Janaha, they are leading themselves into a world which is blind, filled with blinding darkness. Asurya Namate Loka, Andhena Tamasa Avrata, Tam Te Pritya Bhigachandi. Some people will be taking you towards that negative. It is your role, your duty, 25,000 people assembled here to take them to the correct direction. Tamsti Pritya Vigachandi Ekecha Atmahanojana. For which two type of knowledge are needed. Vidyam cha avidyam cha estat veda ubayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mrtamashnuti. Vidya, eternal, experiential, spiritual knowledge. Avidya, external, experimentable, scientific knowledge. Eternal, experiential, spiritual knowledge. External, experimentable, scientific knowledge. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva. Use the scientific knowledge for overcoming the day-to-day problems in our life. Use the scientific and technological knowledge for overcoming the day-to-day problems in our life. And use the spiritual knowledge for attaining immortality. To attain permanent peace. Integrate these two. Our rishis told, Andham tamapravishandi e avidyamupasade tato bhuya ivatetamo yavu vidyaya amrataha. Those who are thinking that science can solve all human problem, those who are thinking that science can solve all human problem, they are leading themselves into blinding darkness. Those who are thinking that spirituality can solve all human problem, tato bhuya ivatetamo yavu vidyaya amrataha, they are also leading themselves into blinding darkness. So integrate science and spirituality. In Bhagavad Gita, it is told, 13th chapter, Jnanam Vijnana Sajidam Yatnyatva Mukshyate Ashubhat. Since majority of you are Indians, you might not have read the Bhagavad Gita. So remember, Jnanam Vijnana Sajidam. After making the whole 700 shlokas by heart, Albert Einstein delivered a lecture in Cambridge University and said, science without religion is blind, religion without science is lame. He took it from Bhagavad Gita. He took it from Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, many of us are ignorant about Bhagavad Gita. We are ignorant that we are ignorant. That is another problem. So remember, we have to see, everything is to be elevated. Swami used to say, Prakriti, nature, become one among the nature. Pradvi tvaya dhrita loka, devi tvam vishnuna dhrita, tamjadharaya mam devi, pavitram kurushasanam. Earth, is considered as our mother. I am Mata Prithvi, Putroham Prithivya. This earth is my mother. I was working in Arctic Ocean, University of Alberta, for about 1 year. That Edmonton transport system, either side it is written, protect Mother Earth. Protect Mother Earth beautifully. So, I am Mata Prithvi. Aham Tava Putra Putroham Prithivya. Protect this earth so that will take you at higher level. Pavitram Kurushasanam. All my mission-oriented work, let it be glorious. And we prayed to the air. Air is divine for Indians. Namaste vayo, tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi, tvameva pratyaksham brahma vadishyami, hridam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami. Yesterday I just told one line to my friend. The first book written in the world, Rigveda, that itself will be the last book of the human race. Not only the first book, it will stay till the last of human race. Because it is anadi, the beginning point of Vedic knowledge. Nobody knows the beginning point. Anadi, nobody knows. Vedas are apaurusheya. Simple meaning. Humanly impossible to write. 3,97,556 letters. 1,93,516 words. 64 chapters. No addition, deletion, modification, correction needed for Vedas. It is composed by Mantra Drashtaraha. Those who could see the nature and copied down the rules of the nature. For which addition, deletion, modification and correction are not needed. Unfortunately, we do not know how many Vedas are there. 25 recensions of Rigveda, only 4 are available. 108 recensions of Yajurveda, only 37 are available. 1001 recensions of Samaveda, only 11 are available. 52 recensions of Atharva Veda, only 1 is available. Fortunately, at least that much is there. My request to my brothers and sisters of this group, take whatever forefathers have given to us, carry to the next generation. World is coming forward for taking India's knowledge. Bhava Raga Talam Bharatam. Bhava Raga Talam. That is here. India did not die. India could not be killed by anybody. Only because the knowledge which existed here. So, when you pray to the earth, when you pray to the Agni, when you pray to the Vayu, we told everybody to protect water. Ima abhashiva sando, shubha shuddhascha nirmala, Pavana Sitalascheva Puta Suryasya Rashmibhi. Why I am telling these lines, you know? Today's my topic is scientific aspect of Veda. So I have to talk about earth, I have to talk about air, I have to talk about Agni, I have to talk about water. That's why I am touching. Fortunately, I was given 2100 second. Now he cut 300 second and made 1800 seconds, that is 30 minutes. So within which I have to tell all these things. Never I used to carry a paper with me because it used to be 2 hours or 2 hours and a half lectures. So always we used to say whenever you are reading Veda, one line you are listening. Say for example, Si sam chame, shyamam chame, trabosh chame, or chame, sonrata chame. Remember that. Nagagrandanena sarvam karshnayasam, vijnadam karshnayasam ityeva satyam. Very difficult to understand, particularly for Indians. So remember, if somebody is talking about nail cutter, nagagrandanena, if somebody is talking about nail cutter, you should understand that a technology existed there for making nail cutters. You should understand that technology existed there for metallurgical processing of the metal by which nail cutter is made. You should know that the ores were known during that period. You should know that purification of the ores and minerals were known that. So when you listen to one word from Veda, Hridayam, Hridayam, you have heard Hridayam? Every one of you have got, I think. So, Hridayam, Aharati iti Hru, accepting. Dadadi iti Da, Ayati iti Ayam. Accepting, giving and circulating. That is Hridayam. You know, far before our great scientist from the West discovered it, we explained it here by words. Samudra. Samadravade abahaiti samudra. Always maintaining the same level of water. That is what is known as samudra. So our knowledge was vast. So terrific. I am using a wrong word. Terrible knowledge. Unfortunately, we were ignorant. We are ignorant. But that is not an excuse for our maintaining ignorance continuously. So, change from bad to good. Last, my clock is telling me that time is almost over. Satyam vada. I know the meaning is known to you. Tell the truth. Dharmam chara. Let every mother follow matra dharma. And every father follow pitra dharma. Every son follow putra dharma. Every daughter follow putri dharma. Satyam vada. Dharmam chara. Swadhyayan ma pramada. Never deviate from learning continuously. Never deviate from learning continuously. Swadhyayan ma pramada. Satya na pramaditavyam. Never deviate from satyam. Dharma na pramaditavyam. Never deviate from dharma. Swadhyaya pravajanabhyam na pramaditavyam. Learn continuously and teach others. Kushala na pramaditavyam. Live a happy life. A happy life. Whatever you did yesterday, whatever you said yesterday should not create a problem for you today. What you did today or doing today, what you are saying today should not create a problem for you tomorrow. The time is moving from future to past. Time is moving from future to past. We are moving from past to future. Contradictory way. Don't worry about it. Still, Bhagavad Gita tells, Prasade sarvadukkanam hanirasyopajayate. Keep a smiling face. Till your last breath, keep a smiling face. Never keep a rotten pumpkin face. Never keep a rotten pumpkin face. Anyway, you will die one day. Whether you are the top officer, whether you are a hero, or you are zero, definitely you will die. So, uttishtata, gloriously stand up. Gloriously stand up. Jagrata, be aware that you are not permanent in this world. Jagrata, be aware that you are not permanent in this world. praapyavaranibodada. Enlighten yourself by acquiring knowledge from the scholars. Enlighten yourself by acquiring knowledge from the scholars. That clock and this clock tells me that time is over. Devadapya pidrupyascha mahayogibhya evacha namasvadhayai swahayai nityameva namo nama nityameva namo nama. I feel literally enlightened to be here as a small man who got the fortune to stand here. And I will come very frequently to this place, just like you, not as a speaker, as a mission-oriented worker. I could see that. Dirga, Ayur Arogya, Aishwaryanam, Abhivruddhi Rastu, Uttarotara Abhivruddhi Rastu, Idi Aham Prarthayami. Long, 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 happy, useful, purposeful, fruitful, meaningful life to all my brothers and sisters. My prostration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You have explained the essence of Vedas, the infinite Vedas, in a nutshell. We pray, Swami, to take away our ignorance and enlighten our intellects. Now I have the privilege of introducing the next speaker, Dr. Narendranath Reddy, who is the chairman of the Sri Satya Sai International Organization. He graduated with distinction from the SV Medical College, Tirupati. He received his training in internal medicine at the New Jersey College of Medicine and did his super speciality in endocrinology and metabolism. He has been practicing endocrinologist in Southern California for the last 40 years now. Dr. Reddy serves as the chairman of Prashanti Council, the administrative body of the Sri Satya Sai International Organization, which has a huge voluntary network in more than 120 countries. He also serves as the director of the Satya Sai World Foundation. He will be speaking to us on the topic Vedanta in daily life. Over to Dr. Narendranath Reddy.
Sarvarupadharam shantam, sarvanamadharam shivam, sachidanandam advaitam, satyam shivam sundaram. With love, gratitude and reverence, I offer my prayerful pranams at the divine lotus feet of our dearest, loving Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who is truth, beauty and goodness, who is the Veda Purusha, Veda Mata, and Vedanta Vedya. Esteemed leaders of all faiths, respected trustees of the Satya Sai Central Trust, dear brother Nimish Pandya, the All India President, dear students, brothers and sisters, loving Sai Ram to all of you. I am grateful to Bhagavan and all of you for giving me this opportunity to share his love and message with you this morning. Yesterday, the Honorable Governor has said, the words of Swami and Swami's name are the Vedas. So they are the essence of all scriptures. It is beautifully said, Sarvamata Sarame Sai Matam. Essence of all religions is the religion of Sai. What is the Sai religion? Sai religion is religion of love. So Swami has said, God is love, love is God, live in love. Swami's love, that is why we are all attracted here. It is divine, unconditional, pristine, transcends all the barriers of caste, creed, religion, race, nationality, ethnicity, gender, faith, time and space. It is all encompassing. That is why we are attracted to this divine magnet. Yesterday was a testimony, yesterday evening, the beautiful ceremony they had, the interfaith dialogue. Many of the leaders, they have come for the first time. But really it is ringing in my ears that many of them said they felt the divine vibrations here. They felt that supreme peace. That is why this is not a Shanti Nilayam, this is Swami gave it Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of supreme peace, as Jesus said, the peace that passeth understanding. So they could feel that. Another one commenting that Swami could be sitting, Sisi Swami was sitting on the throne. Another person was telling that Sat is on this side, all the Vipras are in the other side. Making the Rig Veda declaration, Ekam Sat, Vipra Bahudavanti, the Lord is here, and all those scholars talking about the truth. Another was talking about how, in a relative sense, sun sets, but sun never sets. Similarly, Swami is our eternal companion. He is with us. And it was beautiful also, all the faith leaders have summarized beautifully three important points, that God is only one. As Swami said, there's only one God, He is omnipresent. And second important point everybody said is, the best way, all the leaders, the best way to love God is by serving Him and all His creation. And third important point I got from everybody, which was unanimous, which is common to all faiths, was to feel the joy and suffering of others as one's own. That is why beautifully Lord Krishna says in Gita, Atma upanyena sarvatra samam pasyati Arjuna, sukham va yadi va dukham sayogi paramo mata. That yogi is the greatest yogi who identifies himself with all and feels their joy and suffering as one's own. We had a beautiful discourse by Dr. Gopal Krishnan. He's a great scholar. And as he was mentioning, a lot of us cannot read Gita. A lot of people don't read Gita. The Lord Krishna was so kind and compassionate. We can't read the Vedas. We can't read the Upanishads. So as Swami Vivekananda beautifully said, he went like the Vedas and Upanishads are like forests. He went and plucked the various flowers and put in a beautiful garland of 700 verses, which is the essence of all Upanishads. That is why beautifully it is described, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitaam Ridham. So essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads is in Gita, but 700 shlokas. Lot of us don't read 18 chapters, 8,700 shlokas. But Swami is so kind. He made it very simple. He said in one sentence, you don't need to read so many shlokas. Sarva Vedanta Grandhala Saramella Vakka Vakyana Cheppudu Vakkasari Akhila Bhutamulanduna Atmani Uvu Vakkate Nitiliyavalayu. He says you don't need to read so many shlokas, verses, Vedas. If you read, it is good. But just one sentence, you remember, that is the summary of everything, that the same Atma which is in you is the all-pervading, not only in all human beings, in all beings, including animals, plants, and everything. That is the experience one should have. That is the beautiful message Swami has said, that the essence of Vedanta is that. But how to experience this particular thing? Swami Himself has shown the way. Living with Swami is education. Living with Swami is education in the practical Vedanta. There are two Vedantas, Vacha Vedanta, Anushtana Vedanta. People who talk about Vedanta but not live, Swami said. But really living, day-to-day living of the Vedanta is what Swami has shown us. As they were talking about Swami's Taittiriya Upanishad, the beautifully it is said, the great thing, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. And Swami Himself was an example how to honor the parents, how to respect your parents, mother and father. Even He used to go and to the samadhi on his birthday. Swami used to pay his respect. Ishwara often used to mention about Mother Ishwarama in his discourses. How to honor our parents, that is very, very important in given in Shichavali. And even one of the 10 commandments is honor thy parents. It was a practical lesson for me. Swami made it happen. My parents, my mother and father used to live in Prashanthi Nilayam. And Swami suddenly said in 1995, Narendra, take your parents to United States and let them live with you. I implicitly followed his command. But then I wondered, when they are living in this wonderful heavenly place, it will be nice they leave their body here. Why did he tell me to take them there? But I had the good fortune to serve both of them till they left their body a few years ago. Then I realized one of my senior devotees of Swami, who used to work in important position in New York, United States, he was telling that Swami told him to leave his position and come back to here to serve his parents. Otherwise, you had to be born and born again and again to repay the debt. Then I said, how much love and grace Swami showered on me to be able to serve my parents. As Brother Jagga was mentioning, this is very important, honoring our parents. That is why in the international organization, some group of devotees started this program, HOPE, Honor Our Parents Every Day. So there are many places in many countries like Mauritius, Malaysia, many countries, they are emphasizing the SAI members, students, the emphasis on honoring the parents. And second part of the Taittiriya Upanishad, Swami says, Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. This also, every word of Swami is truth, and every action of Swami is dharma. But Swami jokingly said, but nowadays people, Satyam Vada, they kill truth, Dharmam Chara, they will put in Chara in prison, so nobody practices dharma. But Swami has given us this opportunity of this divine mission, where we can practice his truth and dharma. Second practical aspect, these are all things I learned. I didn't study extensive Vedas, but these are the nuggets I learned at the divine lotus feet. Second is the beautiful, these Mandukya Upanishad. This is the shortest Upanishads of 12, but there's the greatest commentary, Mandukya Karika, you may know. In this, Pranava Upasana is very emphasized. That is Omkara. Repeat. And Swami, for making it easy for us, every day, what do we start with? Chanting Pranava 21 times. And all of you know why he made it 21 times. So that 5 times you clean your karmendriyas, organs of action, 5 jnanendriyas, organs of perception, 5 pranas, and then you give 5 koshas. And then you get in touch with the Atma. Swami is showing that simple pranavasana, Vapasana itself is take us to the goal. That is why Lord Krishna says, Om ite kaksharam Brahma. Om itself is equivalent to Brahman. That is what Swami has shown us. And the third thing is, next in line, so I will just touch various Upanishads, how Swami made it practical. Another is Mundaka Upanishad, where the Angirasa, sage Angirasa tells Shaunaka about Paravidya, Aparavidya. You need, as Dr. Gopal Krishna was telling, most of us are involved in the secure knowledge, scientific knowledge, which is aparavidya. But paravidya is the one which will take us to the goal. That is why Lord Krishna says, vidyanam adhyatma vidya, I am that highest. Because paravidya is the one which, knowing which, there is nothing known to be known. As the Lord Krishna says, yam labdhva cha apanam labham, having attained which, there is nothing more to attain. So here, Swami started those educational institutions where you have an integral education, where you get not only secular knowledge, but also the divine knowledge. Where Swami says, not only emphasize academic excellence, but character development. That is the uniqueness of Swami's educational institutions. From primary to the doctoral studies, not only free education, but academic excellence and also character development. And inspired by this, around the world, we have more than 40 Satsai schools, more than 30 institutes of Satsai education, many SSC programs, Sai spiritual education program, and SSC EHV programs, which inculcate and promote the human values. Swami says human values are the breath of human life. Whether you believe in any religion, faith, as long as you're a human being, you need to believe in the human values. That is why this Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema are the vital breaths for us. That is what Swami's emphasis, and that is what this is the beauty gist of the Mundaka Upanishads. And next stage I will be talking is what Swami has said. He always addresses Shrunanti Visve Amrutasya Putra. We are all children of immortality. Swami says you may get a BA, that is not important, no character, BAD bad. Your MA degree, if you don't know character, MAD mad. MBA member of bad association. But more important, the degree we should get is children of immortality. Amrutasya Putra. How do you do that? How do you get Amrutasya? That is itself given in Upanishads. Na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena. Tyagena ike amrutattu manasi. Only by sacrifice you will get the amrutattva, immortality. What is the sacrifice? Giving in charity, dana. That is why also in Taittiriya Upanishad, shraddhaya deyam, ashraddhaya deyam, shriya deyam, hriya deyam. How do you give charity is also beautifully said. And Swami himself is an example. He used to give us beautiful things with both hands, in plenty, and with humility, with respect, how we should give charity, Swami has shown. And you should give in plenty. I remember this happened about 30 years ago. So I brought some camera film. Those days we used to have cameras and Swami used to throw the film. I brought about 300. So Swami was throwing all the students. Then he ran out. Then he looked at me. I never want to run out. So that was a lesson for me. Whatever we give, we should give in plenty. And also with charity is great thing. Right now I am very happy in Prashanti Nilayam. We started this Annadana where he was giving. Even Shirdi Avatar, he used to be very fond of this Annadana. Whereas he himself used to cook and serve. So this is wonderful. Wherever it is possible, this Narayana Seva, we are doing not only here, but all over the world. So this is the second. And third is the sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? Swami says, first thing we need to sacrifice is our evil qualities, negative tendencies. As Dr. Gopal Krishna was telling, the scriptures say, Badram karne vishunyama, Badram pascheva ashchavidara. Always, Swami said very simple, think good, think no evil. Hear good, hear no evil. Speak good, speak no evil. And this is the way to God. So simple thing, that is why even Lord Buddha said that Ashtanga, he was talking about, Samyak Drishti, Samyak Vak, Samyak Vachana, Samyak Karma, Samyak Jivanam. So just, the Swami's message is so simple and profound. We need to just put it into our daily practice. Another thing Swami emphasized is going and serving the communities, like the various things we do here. Swami's hospital, a lot of people were touched by the wonderful service they do, from the primary to the tertiary care. Completely free of cost. Similarly, inspired by that, we have the medical camps, medical clinics, mobile clinics all over the world serving the humanity. Another unique thing about Swami's thing is this unity of the faiths. So here, Prashanti Nilayam itself, all of you have seen, we started in 2005 or 7, the first interfaith event here. And every time, it is every year, we have Buddha Purnima celebrations, Christmas celebrations, Chinese New Year. And not only here, all over the world, in all such size centers, more than 120 countries, we have this various celebration to show the harmony of religions. We have this interfaith events. It is nice here. We have in USA, Canada, Netherlands, in Australia, New Zealand, all over the world, many, many countries. These are just sampling of what we do. Because Swami says oneness is the most important thing. That is what the message finally I'm ending. Ishavasya Upanishad. Ishavasya Midam Sarva. Everything we need to permeate, see the permeation by God. Once we do that oneness, beautifully Ishavasya Upanishad says, Tatrako mohaha ko shokaha ekatvam anupasthitha. Once you see the unity, no more moha, no more delusion, no more grief. We will live, as he was telling Lord Gopal Krishna, in that bliss. As Swami said, ABC, always be cheerful, always be happy. Don't have a castroil face. Because that is the sign of spirituality, Swami said. You may have anything, but if you are long face, that means you are not closer to God. So that is the way to do. So I will end my talk with four things. The greatest four Mahavakyas in the Vedas are Prajnanam Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, Tvatvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. So these are all something profound from all the four Vedas. But for this Kali age, for our easy understanding, the four Mahavakyas, all of us know, but worth remembering. Love all, first Mahavakya. Serve all, second Mahavakya. Help ever, third Mahavakya. And hurt never, fourth Mahavakya. They look very simple, but for me, over years, the more you dive deep into it, contemplate about it, really the more vistas show up. It's not easy. People say love all. Yes, some people love in organization, people, your friends, family. Somebody irritates you, bothers you, then you will say how many people you love. It's not same thing, serve. You serve your own people. Even the help ever, hurt never, you may think, sometimes you may not hurt, but thought level, word level, this is not easy. Really, these are the wonderful commandments of the Lord, which we practice, our life will be redeemed. I pray to Bhagavan to bless all of us to love Him and serve His creation to till our last breath. Jai Sai Ram.
I feel immensely privileged to introduce the next distinguished speaker of this session, Dr. Anuradha Chaudhary. Dr. Anuradha Chaudhary is an assistant professor of Sanskrit and heritage, Indian psychology and French at the Indian Institute of Technology, Kharagpur, India. Madam Chaudhary did her PhD in Vedic psychology from Pondicherry University and was awarded the Erasmus Mundus Scholarship of the European Union for an M.Lit. In Crossways in European Humanities. She is also an instructor for YogaAnytime.com and has been a resource person for teaching spoken Sanskrit, yoga psychology, and about the transformative power of mantras at the European Union of Yoga in Zinal, Switzerland, Auroville International, Netherlands, the School of Practical Philosophy and Economic Sciences in UK, Ireland and Australia, the Ojai Yoga Crib, USA, and other institutions and organizations. Together with Dr. Vinay Chandra, she has founded the Ritambhara Yoga Shala and has co-edited books on Indian psychology and happiness. Dr. Anuradha Chaudhary.
Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Om Shanno Mitra Shamvarunaha Shanno Bhavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi Shanno Vishnururukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami, Ritam Vadishyami, Satyam Vadishyami, Tanmamavatu, Tadvaktaramavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Sai Ram. I am deeply humbled by this opportunity of having to say something to such an august gathering here. And even more so when I listen to all the previous eminent speakers, I ask myself what Bhagavan thought I could add to this so many words of wisdom that have already been shared to you. But the greatness of these gurus are such that if I am present here, it is only because at some stage there has been a sanction for me to be able to be here. When they are there, then everything moves with their sanction. And so I will try my best to share a little bit of certain insights that I have had in this journey of my, in my journey in the world of sounds. And in this context, the Vedas, mantras, etc. But before I continue, I would also like to express my deep gratitude to Sri Nimish Pandyaji and to Sri Subramaniam Gortiji for having considered me worthy of saying these few words in such a big gathering of people. I would also like to thank all of you here for your sincere devotion to work for becoming better human beings in order to evolve together a better world under the guidance of Sri Satya Sai Baba, Bhagavanji. But if we have to ask ourselves, we are all trying to be better people. But where did this quest to become something better really origin? And it's in this that we have to fall back on the Vedas. The Vedas, as we have been told earlier, has been the earliest record of this quest of humanity to arrive at the deeper secrets of themselves and the universe. And it is in this that we can discover who we are, in the quest of understanding the Vedic knowledge, that we can get to understand who we are. So what really are the Vedas? When we go back to the root of the word, we see that the word Vedas comes from the root vid. Vid in Sanskrit means three things. It means knowledge, it means to be, and it also means that which you have to get. So if you understand these definitions of the root vid, then we can understand that the Vedas is telling us about the knowledge that we need to get to teach us how to be. So what really is this knowledge? In the Bible, in one of the Psalms, there is a beautiful saying. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." And a friend of mine in Ireland had recited this in a very interesting manner. She said, "Be still and know that I am God." And then you cut out the last part. "Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be." And then you reverse the whole thing. "Be. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God." So we can see how beautifully the whole journey is depicted here. This journey of going from being to becoming. So the big question that we ask ourselves, or the Vedic rishis ask themselves, is what exactly is this being and what has transpired till what we have become? So there is this journey between the being, which is just is, and then there is this becoming. There is a movement. And in this movement of becoming, we have also gone further away from home, further away from that point of where we were. And now the entire process of all these different masters who are coming and telling us are nothing but different ways of telling us how can we go back to the source of being. What is that secret knowledge that can tell us how we can be? But I think before I continue, what I would also like us to do is to sort of just connect with each other a little bit. So, because you've been sitting here for a long, long time, so what we can do is I'll just make you do some small exercises, because in the course of how I normally share about the sounds and their powers, I also invite you to do certain movements, etc. So what I would like you to do first is when we ask ourselves, who am I? The very first identity that we can concretely visualize is our physical body, right? Huh? I am. And that's why I'm not somebody else. I am me. So in order to reaffirm this, what I want us to do is to put your hands up. Put your hands up. And just shake it on top like that. And then very consciously pat your whole being and feel yourself. Like feel this body, this machine that has been carrying us, that has been doing all this intellectualism, this quest. Just feel the entire body. Do it. Just go all the way down. Feel yourself, yes. And then I want you to turn to your neighbor and feel the other. So just do a clap like that to the side with your neighbor, whoever. Great. Just do it. Turn around. Everybody do it. All right. So it's a very small exercise, but this exercise, in a sense, draws our attention to our most external reality, which is ourselves, and at the same time gives us an opportunity to understand the concrete reality of the other. And we can establish this connection. So to what extent am I really just myself? And at what point does the other really begin? So I want you to do another small exercise. All right. And when I ask you to do these exercises, I sincerely request all of you to engage in them, to do it and see what you feel, the difference of it. Okay. So the first one we've done is feeling ourselves and concretely touching the other. Now we know that this is where my boundary stops and this is where their boundary starts. Right. So now what we'll do next is I want you to close your eyes. So everybody close your eyes. And now, try and fall back on the most subtle part of yourself. So try and say, I am this body. Behind that, I am skin, muscles, bones. Beyond that, there is some energy, there is prana. And finally, I can become an energy being. If you can connect to your energy being, then the big question is, where do you stop and where does your neighbor begin? So close your eyes and try and see that you are not your concrete body. You are nothing but an energy being. And if you can become your energy being, then where is your boundary and where is the boundary of your neighbor? All right. And in this big connection with the world, where is yourself? Who are you? If indeed at the basis of everything we are energy beings, then who really am I? This question was a very important one asked in the Vedas. I can ask you to open your eyes. It was this whole question, Koham. Huh? Ask yourself this question. Can I hear everybody just say it once? Koham. Say that. Koham. And a third time. And really with this intention of connecting to this deeper truth. Koham. Who am I? Exactly. All right. Lovely. So when we understand that if I believe that I am only this physical body and I am trying to get a connection with my inner self, I will adopt a kind of yoga, which is the Hatha yoga. So I will try through my body, through my breath, to get a better understanding of who I am. Next, if I say that I am not just my body and all, I have got emotions, then I'll try to relate to the world through my emotional being. That becomes, in a simplified way, we can understand that as being bhakti yoga. In what way can I experience that unity with the other? Through my emotions. And then you go higher into your mind and you say that, in fact, our mind is the unique selling point of the human species. There is no other being that can use this tool to look back on itself and ask these important questions. So when I can connect to the mind, I can ask very analytical questions as to who really am I? And then when I combine all of that together, so that becomes the jnana yoga, the knowledge, the yoga of the knowledge. And then I combine all of that into the Ashtanga yoga. So where I take into consideration my being, my behavior through karma yoga, etc. And then I go back all the levels and I connect to my deeper self through the state of samadhi. So that is just how the different yogas help us arrive at this reality. But the fact is also, as we have seen, at the end, we are nothing but energy, If we are energy, then we are in movement. There are vibrations. And when I asked you to look at yourselves as an energy being, what did you see? Okay, so you can either have seen it in two ways. If you look at, now I ask you to do this exercise again. So close your eyes. Close your eyes once more. And try and look at your inner being as an area of different sounds. So in the body level it is making sounds, at the emotional level there are vibrations, at the mental level there are vibrations. And answer the question, are these sounds in harmony or is there noise? How much in harmony are these sounds and how much of noise is there? So in today's world, when we are adding to this noise through all sorts of external factors like social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, and so many other external sources of noise, one of the very powerful tools that they prescribed for the Kali Yuga was that of the Mantra Yoga. So what exactly is this Mantra Yoga? If you go back to the root of the word mantra, it's Mananath Thrayate Iti Mantra, that which protects you when you keep thinking about it. Now if you go into that, if we are all vibrating beings and we are in a system of noise inside, one of the ways that you can reduce that noise is to bring in very conscious vibrations. If you bring in a conscious vibration and allow that to influence your sound system, internal sound system, then there is a greater chance that there will be a harmony within your system. And therefore the mantras protect us because they create these vibrations of harmony within ourselves which are connected to the vibrations of the cosmos. And then we are no longer small, narrow beings. We become as wide as the cosmos. Okay, so having said that, I'll make you do a few small exercises. So the first sound that we will play with is the letter A. All right, so what I want you to do is to close your eyes again. Everybody, because there are these things, if you keep your eyes open, it is a distraction. So please close your eyes. And then I want you to do the sound, ah. Do that. Lovely. I want you next to imagine what kind of action you want to do when you do the sound ah. Alright, so close your eyes, do the sound ah, and see what kind of movement your body feels like doing. So start. Take a breath. Lovely. So one direct effect that I noticed your body feels like doing is you feel like yawning. Okay. And I normally don't take a yawn personally when I do these sessions, for the simple reason that when you're doing these long, big ah sounds, your body suddenly asking for more oxygen because you are lengthening your breath. And with the lengthening of the breath, the body is asking for more oxygen. So in this next course of 15-20 minutes that I'm speaking, feel free to yawn as much as possible because this speaker will not take it personally. Okay. So what happens is when you do the sound ah is that you feel like doing an expansion. Now why does that happen? If we understand that there is a very intimate relationship between any sound you make and the effect it produces. For example, if I make a certain sound, I can break glass. You change the sound, you no longer break glass. So in the physical world, there is a very direct relationship between a sound you make and the effect it has. And that is the reason for requiring perfection of pronunciation when you do Vedic mantras. Because Vedic mantras are nothing more than systematized sound technology. Sounds have been spontaneously placed in such an order that they will create desired effects in various levels of our being. From the physical level to the emotional level to the mental level, we are creating very specific results. If you change that sound, you don't get those results. You will get other results. But you miss on the opportunity of that precision of effect. Okay, and that's why Bhagavan and all were so insistent on the correctness of the sound. So, How much time do I have? All right. Okay, so what I'll do is, I'll do a fast forward on the whole thing, and we will, the next sound I want you to do is, okay, just with the sound R. The sound R represents our existence. It's the very first sound that the human vocal instrument can produce. And therefore, it is like our identity card in sounds. I'll give you an example. If I make a sound which is, you get a picture of where that sound is coming in from. And what is that picture? Is it a bright, happy picture? No. It is a sad, cramped picture. So the inner being has got cramped by thoughts that are small, emotions that are small. If you have small emotions and small thoughts, that blocks the inner space. If you block the inner space, you can no longer breathe freely. You can no longer sound freely. And therefore, the sound like an R is diagnostic because it tells us what is happening inside. And at the same time, it is therapeutic because it allows us to open up. The more we do an ah, which matches with the vibrations of the cosmos, the more we can feel the freedom of our being. So what I'll ask you to do is, we'll just do the sound ah once last time. So close your eyes and do the sound ah, and just spread your hand as much as you can. Without hitting the neighbor. All right, so let's try that. Close your eyes and do it. The next sound is the sound oo, and the sound oo represents the sound of love itself. If you do the sound oo, let's do it together. Great. And the third one is the sound mm. So do that. Mm. It's the sound of establishment. Mm. Now when we go from R to M, so R to U, you have is the first sound, oo is the last sound you can produce, and o is the sound in the middle, which makes the entire range vibrate physiologically. And when you're making that sound vibrate, the relationship of this with the universe is that this is the only region of the human vocals or human being that can reproduce all the sounds of creations. So when you do the sound o, practically the entire universe is ready. And that's why you should never think of anything bad after you say the om, because the universe is listening really hard. Okay. Anyway, so when you do the sound om, it's as if one is containing the entire cosmos in potential. Again, that's the power of the sound om. And just in a minute, I will just close in a minute, is that this whole relationship of ourselves and the universe is this recognition that underlying our existence, there are truths. Because the consciousness that made creation is an intelligent consciousness. So there is a blueprint of existence. If we live according to the blueprint, then we experience the vast. So there are these three ideas of the Satyam, Ritam and Brihat. And when we do practices like the mantra, when we practice truth in our lives, all we are doing from a vibrational level is that we are trying to bring in an alignment of ourselves. The more powerful the alignment of our sound structures, the more powerful we become as an individual in terms of being like a laser. Wherever you look, you will transform. So when we talked in our culture about Satya, the reason for invoking Satya was so that if you practice Satya, each one of us, each one of you can become like a laser in life. And when you're like a laser in life, then whatever you touch, you will transform. And for that to happen in the best way possible for yourselves and humanity is that there has to be purity. And therefore the entire practice of various ways of cultivating that purity. And saying this, I will stop. But I would like to just stop with a mantra, which is Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. So I'll invite you to join. So I'll do it, we'll do it with Indian dancing. So Sarve is everybody. Do that. Sarve. Everybody. I would like everybody to do this because it adds a different dimension to the experience. So Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Huh? You're creating this excellent space. Sukha means excellent space. Sukhinaha. Sarve. Santu. Niramayaha. Without disease. Sarve. Bhadrani. Pashyantu. Ma kashchid. Dukkhabhag. Bhavet. Om. Shanti. 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 Now we think this is a beautiful mantra of well-being and everybody should be happy. I'm not finished. Just 1 minute. Because we think that this is a very beautiful mantra of well-being and happiness. But this particular mantra has a very powerful responsibility attached to it. Because the moment you say, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, may everybody become happy. It implies first and foremost that we have to practice happiness as a responsibility. Can you imagine saying everybody be happy and I go all the time? It doesn't work. Second, let everybody have good health. For that, we have to practice good health as a responsibility. Third, let everybody see the good. Everybody can only see the good if every individual practice the good. And if I practice the good, everybody around me gets to see the good. And that you multiply into a billion and then you see what happens. And finally, ma kashchid dukkha bhag bhavet, let nobody have any sorrow. For that, each individual decides that I will not be a sorrow for anybody else. Hurt, never. That's the one. So om, shanti, shanti, shanti. Sai Ram. Namaste. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chaudhary, for those wonderful insights on the transformative power of sounds. Now it's my privilege to introduce the next speaker, Mr. George Bebedelis. Hailing from Athens, Greece, Mr. George Bebedelis has a degree in mechanical engineering and master's in history and philosophy of science and technology. He is an active member of Greek Satyasai organization. He has served as a center leader, National Seva Coordinator, National Education Coordinator of Greece Satyasai Organization. He is the Director of Institute of Satyasai Education in South Europe. He will be speaking on importance of Vedic ideals and their connection with ancient Greek wisdom. Over to Mr. George Bebedelis.
Sri Sai Ram. I offer my humble and loving salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Respected elders, distinguished guests, dear brothers and sisters, loving Sai Ram to all of you. It is my great honor to stand here and have the chance to share a few thoughts on this unique occasion of the first International Veda Conference and Multi-Faith Symposium taking place in Prasanthi Nilayam during these 2 days. It is such a wonderful experience to come together with thousands of brothers and sisters and fellow pilgrims in the journey to self-transformation and ultimately to self-realization. We have already heard by the Honorable Governor of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, then when Swami declared his avataric mission being still a young boy, he defined the purpose of his advent with three key words: Veda Samrakshana, Vidvat Poshana, and Dharma Stapana. These three are interdependent. The Vedas are the basis of Dharma, and the Vidvans, that means the scholars and sages, are the instruments for the implementation of Dharma. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has also declared, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. O Bharata, whenever there is a decay of Dharma and rise of adharma, then I embody myself. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chatushkritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. For the protection of the good, for the destruction of the evil-minded, and for the re-establishment of Dharma, I take birth age after age. Bhagavan Baba, the avatar of the age, has established a unique educational system in which the human values constitute the backbone. Satya Sai Educator has been aptly described as the Veda of 21st century. The Vedas have been described as apaurusheya, that means not originated by man, but heard and revealed to the ancient rishis in the deep silence of their meditation. In the same way, the global educational system of human values has been revealed to the modern world by our divine master, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Human values are the divine ideals which have to be elicited from within. The word ideal comes from the Greek word idea, introduced to the philosophical thought by the great Greek philosopher Plato, who lived in ancient Athens at the end of 5th century and first half of the 4th century BC. Idea literally means that which is seen. It comes from the Greek root id, or more ancient, vid, which means to see. And as you can hear, it is cognate to the Sanskrit root vid, that the previous speaker spoke about, from which the word Veda originates. Grammatically, the word Veda is the past perfect tense of the verb vid, and it means I have seen, so I know. And it is identical to the Greek vida, which also means to know. There is a well-known saying attributed to Socrates, which says, En ida, oti uden ida. This is easy to understand. En ida means ek veda. I know only one thing, Socrates said, that I don't know anything. This actually is not found written in any dialogue of Plato, but it is attributed to Socrates just to show that he was so humble not to publicize his wisdom. Because of course, Socrates knew very well the divine truth, to the teaching of which he dedicated his whole life. Thus, human values or human ideals are not simply moral principles to guide our actions in day-to-day life, but even more, they are divine truths that can be seen and known through the inner eye of the soul. They are not simply reached by the ordinary perception and systematic reflection of the mind or head. Human values are experienced through the direct, illumined vision of the heart. Thus, Satya Sai Educator becomes the unity of the three eights: hands, head, and heart. EHV equals 3HV. This wonderful and easy to remember formula, given time and again by Bhagavan Baba, includes the essence of Satya Sai education. Today's education is mainly concerned with the body and mind, without reaching up to the spirit or heart. The formula 3HV is identical with the well-known tripartite division of human soul, initiated and analyzed by Plato in his famous book, The Republic. According to Plato, individual and social justice, well-being and happiness consist in maintaining the three parts of the human being, that means body, mind and spirit, in a harmonious coordination where the spiritual part or the heart or conscience has the ruling authority. As Satya Sai often advises, don't follow the body, don't follow the mind, follow the conscience. Yesterday, we heard from respected Rinpoche that this divine part within, in Buddhism, is called Buddha nature. We can call it in different names, soul, Buddha nature, Atma, spirit, but the essence is one. And as we heard yesterday in the inaugurating song, Ekam Sat Viprabhahuda Vadanti, the truth is one, not only about God, but also about the human being. And I like that what he emphasized also, Rinpoche, was that he was struck by one word, the word oneness. This is exactly the essence of Sai teachings, to be able to see the unity in diversity. And I've heard many discourses of Swami, and I know this in Telugu. I will tell it to you. Anekatvamlo ekatvani gurtinchali. I repeat because this is the essence of Sai teachings. This was also mentioned by Dr. Reddy before. It's not necessary to learn many things. Only one thing. Anekatvamlo ekatvani gurtinchali. See the unity in diversity. And in daily here in Sai Kulvant, the Pursa Suktam is chanted. Sahasra Sirsa Pursaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat. That means God has a thousand of heads, thousand of eyes, thousand of feet. So wherever we meet Pursa. He is in all these forms. This is the only truth that we have to realize. Many years ago, I took a trip during Christmas 93, New Year 94, many years back. Maybe some of the young students who are here, they were not yet born. It was 24 years back. During this trip, I was studying a very important dialogue of Plato called Phaedo, in which Plato describes the last moments of Socrates in jail, after he had been sentenced to death. During these last days of his life, he gave to his disciples his final teachings about the immortality of the soul. My mind was fully concentrated on the teachings of Socrates, and I was yearning to get guidance straight from Swami. Indeed, on the 3rd of January, our group was blessed with an interview. It was an unforgettable day in my life. When we entered the room, Swami welcomed everybody, turned on the fan as a loving host, gave vibhuti to the ladies, and inquired about our stay in the ashram. After a while, he turned to me, looked straight in my eyes, and asked me, "Boy, what do you want?" I knew from fellow devotees that Swami makes this question, and I was ready. I said, "Swami, I want you. I want God." Swami was smiling happily. And then he waved his hand and created a beautiful ring. It was silver with a golden om on it. He showed it to everybody and said, "New design." Then he put it in my finger, in which it fitted exactly, and remarked, "You see, perfect size." I was the happiest person in the world. I had a present from my guru, and what a present, a golden om. Dr. Reddy mentioned the Mandukya Upanishad, where om is the center of this small Upanishad, and is explained. And every morning in the mantir, we made 21 omkara. So my happiness knew no bounds. But this was not all. Swami kept looking at me, going inside the second room, coming out. When he saw privately some members of the group, again asked me, "What do you want?" What more to say? But I had to answer to Swami. Then I said, Swami, I want peace, strength, self-confidence. Then Swami asked again, why do you come here? I answered, I come for you, Swami. I come for God. And then Swami asked, where is God? I said, God is everywhere, Swami. And then Swami stood up from his chair, looking straight into my eyes, and he said, you are also God. Now you think that you are a man, but this is a mistake. If you think you are a man, then you remain a man. You have to think, I am God, I am God, I am God. Look, who is Swami? I say my chair, but I am not the chair. I am different from the chair. My handkerchief, it means I am not the handkerchief. In the same way I say my body. My is different, body is different. I am not a body. It is the same with you. Put a question to yourself, who am I? Then you will know the answer. I am not the body, I am not the senses, I am not the mind. I am the master of the body. I am the ruler of the senses. I am the immortal Atma. As I was standing there at the feet of my master, the deepest yearning of my soul was fulfilled. My prayers had been heard by Swami. The same truth that I studied in Socratic philosophy was given to me by Swami. What else could I wish for? However, I dared to say to Swami, Swami, I know this teaching, but it is difficult to realize. Then Swami became serious and austere. He didn't accept this hesitation of mine. No, he said, it is not difficult. It is easy. Don't think like that. Low aim is a crime. It is like when you have a chapati in your plate. When you have it in front of you, don't think, is it well cooked? Is the sauce tasty? And such useless questions. Take it and eat it. Put it in your mouth. Then you experience the taste. You are Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is like water. Chit is like sugar. When you mix these two, then you have syrup that is Ananda. This is your real sadhana. This is your real sadhana, Swami told me. Before 23 years, 24 years, I keep it all the time in my mind. He told me, your breath repeats 21,600 times per day, so hum, reminding you that you are one with God. As the days pass, I try to remember in the night how many times during the day did I hear my breath. Did I hear it 21,600 times? No. Because I'm here engaged with all this samsara going on, all this play, the world play, and I forget this. But this will be my sadhana. The number of the breaths that I watch have increased. And this is my real sadhana. This is what I receive from my master. And on the light of this fundamental teaching of Swami, which is Atma Jnana, I would like to discuss a little the first verse of Sri Rudram, because we chant, and here is the Veda conference, and we'll have also the chance today in the evening to chant again a mass recitation. It was so powerful yesterday, this great hymn, this ancient hymn. So the first verse says, Namaste Rudramanyava Utota Ishave Namaha. Namaste Astu Dhanvane Bahubhyam Utate Namaha. In this verse, there are four things. The devotee salutes Sri Rudra's Manyuhu, which is anger, Isuhu, which is arrow, Danuhu, which is the bow, and Bahu, the two strong arms which tend the bow. In Vedanta philosophy, Maya is considered to have two powers. The one is called Avarana Sakti, the concealing power, and the other is Vikshepa Sakti, the projecting power. Avarana Sakti is the veil which hides the truth, and Vikshepa Sakti is the power which projects on this veil the false reality of the worldly phenomena. Maya can be compared with Sri Ruda's Manyu or anger, which makes the human being feel helpless and miserable. The symbolic meaning of this verse is that we pray to omnipotent God to take away the darkness of ignorance which makes us forget our true self. The two strong arms of the Lord are the two powers of Maya, the concealing power and the projecting power. When we salute the two powerful hands of Lord Shiva and ask him to release the bow, it's like we pray to him to take away Avarana and Vikshepa Saktis. These two powers create the identification with the world and shoot the arrow Isuhu of desire, which is in Sanskrit Asa. When we pray to him to throw away his bow and arrows, it's like we ask him to take away all our negative and harmful desires. Finally, Danuhu can be compared with the body, which in Sanskrit is called Tanuhu. When we ask Rudra to throw away his bow, it means that we ask him to take away our body consciousness. So when we chant the Sri Rudram, let us pray to the Lord to grant to us the great gift of discrimination and detachment. In this way, when we contemplate in this symbolic way, the Rudra Prasna becomes Rudropanishad. Every Saturday morning, the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad is chanted in Sai Kulvan Hall. I will say from all the Vedic texts that they are chanted, this is the one I like the most. Why? Because in this chapter, the five C's which cover the true self are described in order to help the spiritual seeker to go beyond the identification with the outer covers of the body, the sense organs, the mind, and the intellects, who are just the instruments of a human being and not his real identity. The Upanishad ends by saying that he who realizes that the very same divine self is present in the human being and in the sun and all nature goes beyond all five C's and reaches that truth, which is beyond the understanding of the mind and the capability of the words to describe. It goes like this. I would like to repeat and close. Etamannamayamatmanamupasankramati. Etam pranamayamatmanamupasankramati. Etamanomayamatmanamupasankramati. Etam vijnanamayamatmanamupasankramati. Etamanandamayamatmanamupasankramati. Tadabhyesha shloko bhavati. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saham. Dear brothers and sisters, the Veda is a unique treasure of wisdom which, if studied with zeal and full dedication, will purify the mind and lead the spiritual seeker straight to the goal, which is Atma Jnana. We are really so blessed that Bhagavan Baba has awakened the ancient wisdom and with his divine will has inspired thousands of spiritual seekers all over the world, not only to study the Vedic wisdom, but more important, to put it into practice. I would like to close with a well-known mantra from Sri Rudra known as Mahamrutyum Jaya Mantra. We worship the fragrant three-eyed one who confers affluence and prosperity. Just as a ripe fruit is released from its stalk, let me be saved from the bondage of death and be deprived not of immortality. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pustivardhanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Vityor Mukshiyamamritat Triambakam yajamahe sugandhim pusti vardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanan vityor mukshi yamamritat Om Shanti 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 Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Brother George, for those wonderful insights. The last speaker of this session is Professor Dr. Mohammad Hanif Khan Shastri. A number of you are wondering how is the Shastri coming in. So there are three reasons, as we had just discussed with him. One, he is a PhD in Sanskrit, and that's the title that's given to somebody who's a PhD in Sanskrit. The second aspect is that Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma, our former President of India, had conferred this title on him for his scholastic attributes in Sanskrit. And the third thing which he mentioned, which really touched our heart, is that he is very proud to be an Indian, and that is why he has added the title of Shastri into his name. Professor Hanif Kumar Shastri is a professor at the Rashtriya Sanskrit University in New Delhi. He has done his MA in Sanskrit and is an Acharya in Puranas, and he has done his PhDs in Puranas. His doctoral thesis was on comparative analysis of Gayatri Mantra and Surah Fataya with reference to meaning and importance. Dr. Shastri has authored 8 books, and he has endeavored to promote communal harmony by highlighting similarities between Hindu and Muslim religions. Along with many other awards and recognitions, he has also received the National Communal Harmony Award from the President of India. He will be speaking on the subject, Essence of Sanatana Dharma and Quran, Professor Shastri.
Om, 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 Jai Sai Ram Baba. Rigveda mein Mandal 5, Sukta Sankhya 13, aur Mantra Sankhya 11, में बात आती है यो यागरतम ऋचा कामयन्ते यो यागरतम समानियान्ति यो यागरतम अमं सोम आह तवाहम अस्मि सखे नौकाः जो राष्ट्र के लिए समाज के लिए मानव मात्र के लिए जो असीम बड़ी संकल्पना लेकर चलता है उसके सामर्थ्य का है या नहीं है जो असीम संकल्पना लेकर के चलता है उसको सार्थक बनाने के लिए और उस संकल्पना को साकार बनाने के लिए निरंतर जागृत रहता है निरंतर सचेत रहता है उसके लिए परब्रह्म परमेश्वर कहते हैं तवाहम अस्मि सख्ये नौकाः हे मित्र तुम्हारे हृदय में मैं अपना घर बनाकर तुम्हारे सहयोग के लिए निरंतर तैयार हूं मैं जब यहां आया बचपन से ही कबीरदास जी की वो दोहा पढ़ते आ रहा हूं बचपन से ही कि साईं से सब होत है बंदे ते कछु नाही राई ते पर्वत करे पर्वत राई माई मैं बहुत दिनों से इस दोहा की व्याख्या में लगा हुआ था लेकिन आज जब मैं बुढ़ा हो गया तब इसका प्रमाण मिला मुझे कि यकीनन साईं ही सब कुछ करते हैं और बंदे से कुछ नहीं। जब यह बृहत्तर संकल्पना को साकार होते हुए देखा, आप जैसे महामूर्तियों के प्रत्यक्ष रूप में साईं का प्रमाण देखा और यह परम धाम देखा, वो हॉस्पिटल वगैरह देखा, तो हृदय से दिल मान लिया कि निसंदेह साईं ही सब कुछ करता है। तो मैं इतना धन्य हो गया यहां आकर सबसे मिलकर, जितने भी मित्र मिले सबके सब के अंदर ऐसी वैश्विक सौहार्द प्रत्यक्ष रूप में मिला जिसका प्रमाण यहीं तक सीमित नहीं होना चाहिए, संपूर्ण विश्व में इसका विकास होना चाहिए, इसका फैलाव होना चाहिए। इस अपरंपार सौहार्द का प्रमाण ऐसा दुनिया का पहला इंसान स्वयंभू मनु के नाम से या हजरत आदम के नाम से, जो स्वयंभू यहां धरती पर आने लगे तो बहुत ही चिंतित, बहुत ही खिन्न मन से थे कि वहां जाकर क्या करूंगा, कुछ भी नहीं है वहां तो, और जन्नत छोड़कर जाना है। अथर्ववेद में 19वें कंडिका का 31 सूक्त का पहला मंत्र है कि तुम जाओ, तुम्हें रास्ते के लिए तीन तरह का पाथे दिया जा रहा है, जीवन का राह खर्च दिया जा रहा है और उस खर्च को तुम्हारे वंश के लोग, इंसान कहलाने वाले लोग, अगर इस पाथे को निरंतर प्रयोग करेंगे, इस्तेमाल करेंगे, तो निश्चित रूप से धरती भी स्वर्ग बन जाएगा। वो पाथे है सहृदयम साम्मनस्यम अविद्वेषम कृणोमि वह अन्यो अन्यम अभिहर्यत वत्सम जातम इवाग्नया। पाथे है सहृदयता, सौहार्द, साम मनस्य, एक दूसरे से प्रेम के साथ अपनी अपनी भावनाओं का आदान प्रदान कर लेना, अविद्वेष, न जाने किस व्यक्ति में कितनी प्रतिभा प्रभु ने दी है उससे विद्वेष न करके उसके प्रतिभा से लाभ लेने की व्यवस्था हो। और ये मानो तो गंदगियों का पुतला है, ऐसी स्थिति में बताया निर्देश है वेद का कि अन्यो अन्यम अभिहर्यत वत्सम जातम इवाग्नया, कि एक दूसरे को ऐसे चमकाओ जिस तरह से नवजात बच्चा पैदा करती है गैया गाय, तो उसमें न जाने कितने खून पीप गोबर गंदगी लगी रहती है और उसको चाट कर चमका देती है उस बछड़े को, उस वत्स को, ठीक वैसे ही तुम एक दूसरे को ऐसे ही चमकाओ। यह वैश्विक निर्देश मानव मात्र को मिला है और इसका प्रमाण मुझे आज यहां मिला है, यह धन्य है प्रभु की महिमा। और मैं प्रार्थना करता हूं बाबा से भी, आप सबों से भी, कि ऐसी संकल्पना यहीं तक सीमित नहीं रहने दीजिए, इसको विश्व के कोने कोने तक, इस लोक में भी और परलोक तक लेकर चाहिए, तब जाकर के मानव कहलाने का अधिकारी आप हो सकेंगे। मैं आपके साथ हूं यह प्रतिज्ञा करता हूं। कल से विश्व बंधुत्व की चर्चा सुन रहा हूं यहाँ ही नहीं पूरे दुनिया भर में हर मानव समाज में यह चर्चा चल रही है विश्व बंधुत्व की। अयो निजः परो येति गणना लघु चेतसाम उदार चरिता नाम वसुधैव कुटुम्बकम, ये बात सुनने को मिला है। वास्तव में इसकी बुनियाद भारत में ही है। भगवद गीता के 14वें अध्याय का 4वां श्लोक है, वो वसुधैव संपूर्ण विश्व सारे प्राणी जो है कैसे हमारे भाई हैं उसका प्रमाण इस श्लोक से मिलता है कि सर्व प्रकृति सुए कौन्तेया मूर्तया संभवन्ति या तासाम ब्रह्मा महद्योनि अहम बीजः प्रदः पिता। कि सारी शरीर की जितनी भी रचनाएं हैं, जितने भी शरीर दिख रहे हैं मानव का ही नहीं, जितने भी जीव जंतु पशु पक्षी जितने भी शरीर दिख रहे हैं उन शरीर का, शरीर की रचनाएं जो हैं प्राकृतिक तत्वों से हुई है। ये क्षिति जल पावक गगन समीर प्रत्यूष प्रभास सोम, ये 8 प्रकृति तत्व हैं, इन्हीं से संपूर्ण शरीर की रचना हुई है और इन्हीं से उनका पल्लवन हो रहा है, इन्हीं से इनका संवर्धन हो रहा है। तासाम ब्रह्मा महद्योनि अहम बीजः प्रदः पिता, और उस शरीर में मैं स्वयं परब्रह्म परमेश्वर अपना प्राण तत्व जीव रूप में डालता हूं। इस तरह से आप संकल्पना करिए कि कौन गैर है, कौन हमसे बिछुड़ा हुआ है, कौन हमसे दूर है। इस संकल्पना को, इस श्लोक को जब ध्यान में रखेंगे तो पता चलता है कि यकीनन हम सब भाई भाई हैं। ठीक यही बात कुरान शरीफ में सूरह सजदा 32 नंबर का सूरह है, उसमें 8 नंबर की आयत है, उसमें बताया गया है कि सुम्मा सवाहु नफखा फीही मिर रूही, कि मैंने उसको आंख कान नाक मुंह पूरे शरीर की रचना बड़े ढंग से, बड़े वैज्ञानिक ढंग से तैयार किया। फीही मिर रूही, और इसके बाद अपना रूह डाला, ये कुरान में अल्लाह कह रहा है। बहुत मानव समाज में ऐसी भ्रांतियां फैली हुई हैं, अल्लाह खुदा। मैं एक मित्र से पूछने लगा, तू कहे मियाओं का भगवान है अल्लाह, ऐसा। लेकिन आपको हैरानी होगी कि ये वैदिक शब्द संपदा है, अल्लाह भी और खुदा भी। खुदा शब्द जो है प्रलय का चित्रण ऋग्वेद के 10वें मंडल का 129वें सूक्त का पहला से लेकर 6 मंत्र है, उसको नासदीय सूक्त कहा जाता है, उसका चित्रण कर रहे हैं ऋषि। ना सदासीनम सदासी तदानीम नासीद रजो न व्योमा परोयत किम आवरूह कुकस्य शर्मन नंभ किम आसीद गहनम गभीरम न रात्र आसीद अहना किम प्रकेता न रात्रि आसीत अहनः किम प्रकेतः न मृत्युरासीद अमृतम तक न तरही आनीद वातम सधया स्वधया तदेकम तस्माद् धनाना परः किम चनासः। ये है कि कहा जा रहा है कि महाप्रलय जब हुआ तो कुछ भी नहीं था, कुछ भी न सत था, पूरे संसार की रचना सत और असत के सम्मिश्रण से बना है। सत परम तत्व प्रभु का जीव तत्व है जो नश्वर है, अरे अनश्वर है, शाश्वत है, अव्यय है जीव तत्व, और जो शरीर तत्व है ये नश्वर है। तो नश्वर और शाश्वत चीजों के सम्मिश्रण से यह संसार बना है, लेकिन प्रलय काल में यह कुछ भी नहीं था। न सदासीत तदानीम, उस समय तो न तो सत था न तो असत था, न तो यह आकाश, न व्योमा परोयत, न तो व्योम आकाश था, न उसके ऊपर कुछ भी था, नासीद रजो, न तो धरती थी, कुछ भी नहीं था। फिर किम आवरुह या कुकस्य शर्मन, ये नंभा किम आसीद, अनंत 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 पानी ही पानी था चारों तरफ। उस पानी में नन्हा सा अड़िमा रूप में उसका आकार विद्वानों ने बताया कि ओम के आकार का था, और वो चंद्राकार बिंदु जहां है वहां प्रकाश प्रकाशित हो रहा था। ऐसा नन्हा सा रूप लेकर के वो पानी में स्वधया तदेकम आनीद वातम, वही सांस लेता हुआ, वात लेता हुआ, हवा लेता हुआ, स्वधया स्वधा का तृतीय रूप है, अपने स्वधा के साथ, अपने तमाम शक्ति के साथ वह परब्रह्म परमेश्वर अड़िमा रूप में उस अपार पानी में तैर रहा था और कुछ भी नहीं था। वो स्वधा शब्द जो है संस्कृत का शब्द है स्वधा, जैसे भारतीय भाषा में मूर्धन्य श को ख बोलते हैं, जैसे ऋग्वेद के पुरुष सूक्त में है पुरखा सहस्राक्ष सहस्रपाद, ऐसा सहस्र पुरखा शीर्षा सहस्राक्ष, उसमें पुरुषा शीर्षा ऐसा करके है, मूर्धन्य श है और उसको ख पढ़ते हैं। अवेस्ता भाषा में ये दंती स को, सड़क वाला स को ख बोलते हैं, तो वो स्वधा जो है अवेस्ता भाषा में खधा हो जाता है, और वो अवेस्ता भाषा में जब पहलवी भाषा में आता है तो वही खुदा हो जाता है। पूरे दुनिया में मुस्लिम समाज इसको खुदा शब्द को इस्तेमाल करते हैं, लेकिन पता ही नहीं है कि इसका निकास कहां से है। न तो कुरान में इसका जिक्र है और न तो किसी हदीस में इसका जिक्र है, ये वेद का शब्द है और प्रचलन संपूर्ण मुस्लिम समाज में है, लेकिन किसी को पता नहीं है कि ये वैदिक शब्द संपदा है। ऐसे ही अल्लाह शब्द का देखिए, अल्लाह वैसे तो अरबी में अल इलाह कर देते हैं और कुरान में इसका जगह जगह जिक्र है, अल्लाह शब्द का प्रयोग है। यहां तक कि रसूल अल्लाह जब लोगों को सत्य धर्म का संदेश दे रहे थे तो लोगों को बताते थे कि मैं उसी अल्लाह की बात कर रहा हूं जिनको तुम पहले से जानते हो। अब ये इस अल्लाह शब्द की व्युत्पत्ति महर्षि पाणिनि ने ईस्वी पूर्व 2800 साल पहले कर चुका है और कुरान अभी 1400 साल पहले आया है। उसमें जब अल्लाह शब्द की संधि विच्छेद करिएगा तो अल ईल आह, ई का निपातनम सूत्र से ई का लोप हो जाता है, सिद्ध्याभिकरणम निपातनम कहा जाता है कि जब सिद्धि का प्रयोग होने लग जाता है तो ई का लोप हो जाता है तो अल्ल हो जाता है, और आह ब्रह्म सूचक अव्यय शब्द है। ये आह ब्रह्म को ही संकेत करता है और ये अव्यय शब्द है, ये इसका कहीं कोई किसी भी तरह सा कमी बेसी नहीं होता, ज्यो है त्यो है ऐसा ये अव्यय। तो अल ईल आह ई का लोप कर देंगे तो अल्लाह सब के लिए वही एक परमात्मा परब्रह्म परमेश्वर पूज्य है। ये ईल से तात्पर्य शब्दकोश में देखेंगे तो पूज्य आता है। दूसरी व्युत्पत्ति महर्षि ने की है अल ला आह, अल अल्यते इति अल, अल्यते उसको कहते हैं पैदा करने वाली को, इसीलिए मां का पर्यायवाची है अल्लाह अम्मा अक्का ये सब। तो अल ला आह अल्लाह मां का पर्यायवाची है, इसीलिए मां को ईश्वर का नमूना कहा जाता है। आप विश्व में कुछ भी देखें, कुछ भी आप देख रहे हैं, ये तमाम तरह के पूरा खूबसूरत रौनक पूर्ण ये पंडाल, हवाई जहाज पर बैठे हैं, रेल पर बैठे हैं, अंतरिक्ष यान में जा रहे हैं, ये बिल्डिंग देख रहे हैं, ये जो कुछ भी देख रहे हैं वो सब के सब मां की शक्ति से संपन्न दिख रहा है। कोई न कोई माई का लाल ही बनाया है इसको, इसलिए ये मां की ही शक्ति प्रत्यक्ष दिख रही है। इसीलिए मां को ईश्वर का नमूना कहा जाता है। अल्लाह मां का बहुत ही सुंदर नाम है, अल्लाह, अम्मा, अक्का। तो अल पैदा करने वाली, ला से तीन अर्थ संस्कृत शब्दकोश में मिलते हैं, लाती, जानाती, ग्रहणाती। वा मां जब पैदा करती है बच्चे को तो मां ही जानती है कि अब हमारे नन्हे बच्चे को क्या चाहिए। जानाती, वो जानती है कि इसको अब क्या चाहिए, किस समय इसको भोजन चाहिए, किस समय इसको सोना चाहिए, किस समय इसको गोद में। एक एक बात मां ही जानती है और दूसरा कोई नहीं जानता। लाती, लाती जानाती, जानती है, और उसी तरह से बच्चे को क्या जरूरत है वो मां ही प्रस्तुत करती है, मां ही उसकी व्यवस्था करती है। और ग्रहणाती, और मां चाहे बच्चा भले बूढ़ा हो जाए लेकिन मां वो हमेशा उसको अपना बच्चा ही समझेगी और गोद में ही लिए रहेगी, ऐसा उसका उसकी संकल्पना है। ये मां की नमूना को आह से जोड़ दीजिए तो आ जाएगा अल्लाह। संपूर्ण ब्रह्मांड को जिस परमात्मा ने पैदा किया है, संपूर्ण ब्रह्मांड में जितने भी सृष्टि की रचना की है, सबको कब क्या चाहिए, कब उसकी क्या जरूरत है, एक एक चीज वही पर ब्रह्म परमेश्वर जानता है और वही सारा पूरा करता है और वही सबको अपने कब्जे में रखा है। इसलिए वो अल्लाह वैदिक शब्द है और संस्कृत का शब्द है, दुनिया भर में इसका प्रयोग हो रहा है, लेकिन उसका मूल तत्व वेद में निहित है, इसको कोई नहीं जानता है। इस परंपरा को भी निर्वाह करने के लिए आप लोगों का दायित्व तो बढ़ना चाहिए कि हम सब एक हैं। यह संकल्पना जो आप मुझे यहां बुलाया गया कि ये वैश्विक धर्म की बातें चलनी चाहिए, और वैश्विक धर्म वास्तव में वैश्विक धर्म तमाम तरह के धर्म है ही नहीं। महाराज मनु कहते हैं वेदो अखिलो धर्म मूलम, दुनिया में जितने भी धर्म हैं वो सब का मूल धर्म, मूल तत्व जो है वेद है। और मैंने अभी बाबा को दो पुस्तकें समर्पित की है, सनातन धर्म और इस्लाम विश्व बंधुत्व के लिए, और भागवत गीता और कुरान विश्व बंधुत्व का प्रत्यक्ष प्रमाण। ये दो पुस्तक मैंने बाबा को समर्पित की है। अब बाबा जाने उसका कैसे विकास होगा, कैसे संवर्धन होगा और कैसे क्या होगा, ये बाबा जाने और बाबा के लोग जाने। मैंने तो क्या उसको कहते हैं, जीवन का मैंने सौंप दिया सब भार तुम्हारे हाथों में, ऐसा। ये बड़ी मेहनत से मैंने करके लिखा है और दिखाया है कि वास्तव में इस्लाम जो है वो कोई अलग धर्म है ही नहीं, वो अरबी भाषा वालों को अरबी भाषा में सनातन तत्व ज्ञान का मूल तत्व ज्ञान कुरान में है। आप हमारी इस किताब को देख लीजिए, एक एक चीज मैंने प्रमाण के साथ प्रस्तुत किया है कि एक एक चीज अल्लाह के बारे में आपको बता ही दिया। इस्लाम का प्राण तत्व है, इस्लाम धर्म का प्राण तत्व है अल्लाह और खुदा, वो वेद से मैंने आपको प्रमाणित करके दे दिया। इस्लाम शब्द जो है उसका शाब्दिक अर्थ होता है समर्पण, समर्पण अपने मालिक के आगे, जिस प्रभु ने हमें इस धरती पर भेजा है वो कुछ दायित्व के साथ भेजा है, कुछ उद्देश्य के साथ भेजा है, कुछ उम्मीद के साथ भेजा है, उस उम्मीद के हिसाब से हम खरा उतरें, उस दायित्व को हम निर्वहन करें और उसका जो उद्देश्य है उस उद्देश्य को पूर्ति करें। ये हमारे ग्रंथों में वो बातें सारी निहित हैं, उसको शास्त्र कहते हैं। शास्त्र विहीन जीवन, मानव जीवन निरर्थक जीवन माना जाता है। गरुड़ पुराण में बात आती है कि गरुड़ पुराण में धर्म तत्व में बात आती है कि यशमन वो दिमाग से अभी उतर गए कि प्रत्यक्ष मृत्यु को सामने देखते हुए भी धर्मम ये न चरे नर अजागलस्तनस्यैव तस्य जन्म निरर्थकम्। वो सामने मृत्यु को देखकर अपने प्रभु से मिलने वाला समय को दिमाग में रखकर और अपने दायित्वों का निर्वाह जब मानव होकर के नहीं आप उसका निर्वाह कर रहे हैं तो आपका जन्म ठीक वैसे ही है जैसे बकरी के गाल में लटकता हुआ स्तन होता है जो निरर्थक होता है, वैसे आपका जीवन निरर्थक कर दिया जाएगा। वो प्रभु आपको भगा दिया जाएगा कि वो आप अपने दायित्व के ऊपर खड़े नहीं उतरे। ऐसे दायित्व का निर्वहन कैसे होना चाहिए, आपको ध्यान होना चाहिए कि आप कितना महान है। आपको ऐसे ही पैदा नहीं किया है प्रभु ने, ऐसे ही नहीं पैदा कर दिया है। वो आप गौर करिए कि ये भगवद गीता के 11वें अध्याय में जब विराट रूप दिव्य दृष्टि से अर्जुन देख रहे हैं तो वहां एक जगह बोलते हैं चौथे पांचवें पंक्ति में ही है, न अंतम न मध्यम न पुनस्तवादिम पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूपम। हे प्रभु न तो आपका अंत का दिखाई दे रहा है, न तो आदि दिखाई दे रहा है, तो न तो मध्य दिखाई दे रहा है, संपूर्ण विश्व में आप ही आप दिखाई दे रहे हैं। वह परमात्मा, वह अपरंपार परमात्मा कहता है ईश्वर सर्वभूतानाम हृदय देशे अर्जुन तिष्ठति भ्राम्यन सर्वभूतानि यंत्रारूढ़ानि मायया, कि वो अखंड मंडलाकार परमेश्वर आपके हृदय स्थान में निवास करता है। ठीक यही बात कुरान शरीफ में है। मैंने जैसा कि बताया कि कुरान शरीफ जो है भगवत गीता से अलग है ही नहीं, ये जो उसके मूल ज्ञान है, वैसे तो व्यावहारिक ज्ञान सामाजिक ज्ञान ये तो अलग अलग सब अलग अलग युगों में अलग अलग समाज में अलग अलग कालखंड में अलग अलग देशों में अलग अलग हुए हैं, लेकिन जो मूल तत्व ज्ञान है वो भगवत गीता से कुरान अलग है ही नहीं। एक एक बात भगवत गीता की बातें कुरान शरीफ में मिलती हैं, और जबकि हैरानी की बात है कि दोनों में 3,500 साल का अंतर है। भगवत गीता 5,000 साल से पहले की है और कुरान अभी 1400 साल पहले लोगों को मिला है, लेकिन उसमें जो मूल तत्व ज्ञान है वो एक जैसा है। आप उस पुस्तक को देखेंगे, हमारा नेटवर्क नेट पे भी हमारा नाम आपको निकल जाएगा, उससे भी आप मंगा सकते हैं, या यहां से अगर संवर्धन हो सके तो यहां से इसका प्रचार प्रसार करिए। आप लोग देखिए कि जो मूल तत्व है वो वास्तव में सबको जानना चाहिए, और जब परमात्मा एक है तो धर्म 1,000 कैसे हो सकते हैं। धर्म तो एक ही है, सनातन धर्म तत्व है, सनातन धर्म है। असल में क्या हुआ, मैं कल बाबा जी का वो हॉस्पिटल देखने गया, लालच में पड़ के अपनी आंख में गड़बड़ कर लिया, ये मैं देख नहीं पा रहा हूं। जय हिंद।
बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया हनीफ साहब, आपने ऐसे ऐसे नए वेद धर्म के बारे में बताए हैं, यहां जितने भी लोग बैठे हैं सारे दिल खुश हो गए हैं। वी नाउ हैव अ फ्यू फेलिसिटेशंस। and I would request to begin with, we have Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan, the Director of the Indian Institute of Scientific Heritage. I request Sri K. Chakravarti Garu, the Trustee Secretary of the CSAT Sai Central Trust, to honor Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan. I would request Dr. Anuradha Chaudhary, Assistant Professor of the Indian Institute of Technology, Kharagpur, to be felicitated. Mrs. Kamala Pandya, the National Coordinator Mahila, will do the felicitations, please. Bevildis, the National Council President of Greece and the Director of the Institute of Satsai Education, Southern Europe, will be felicitated by Sri K. Chakravarti, Secretary Trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. The Air Chief Marshal, Dr. Nirmal Chinsuri, PVSM, AVSM, VM, the former Chief of the Indian Air Force, will be felicitated by Sri S.S. Naganan and Dr. Mohan, as well as Dr. Vijay Bhaskar, please. And finally, the person who has conquered our hearts with his Vedic learning, Professor Dr. Mohammad Hanif Shastri, will be felicitated by Sri R.J. Ratnakar.
Sorry. शायर दे अल्लाह अकबर अल्लाह अकबर अल्लाह अकबर
जय जगदीश हरे सर्वलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु Sai Baba.